it's your breath in our lungs, Lord, that enables us to sing these words, to declare your praise, to worship you this morning, Lord. It's not of ourselves, Lord. We just acknowledge the greatness of who you are this morning. Great are you, Lord. Truly you are great. We worship you. We honor you in this place. Holy Spirit, we give you room to move, to speak to us this morning. We pray that you'd bless the rest of our meeting. Bless the word to us now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may have a seat. Just so convicted that we're not rushed through the worship this morning. Sometimes, you know, you're aware of your program and you're aware that for some of our visitors and our friends, this may be a long time of singing. But I just want to encourage us that, you know, before we are anything as Christians, we are worshipers. And that we get into the habit and the discipline of seeking His face. And that's what we did this morning. We stood still and we pondered and we waited. And I'm not even going to apologize for those that perhaps were a bit uncomfortable with it. But sometimes we're going to stand still for a second. We're just going to wait on the Lord just to see what He wants to do. Because often He does an amazing work even in the worship. Amen. Amen. So it's nice to see many of you here again. I trust you had a good long weekend. Last weekend we surely did. We got around a bit. We went to go visit my folks on the west coast, and we did all the touristy things. We went on the red bus, or was it the blue bus? The red bus, and the tour around the harbour. We felt like tourists in our own country, but it was wonderful. You should try it if you haven't done it. So we had a lovely break, but it's fantastic to see more of you this morning. So I'm preaching on kindness this morning, and I asked Moja. To come up with an appropriate image. You know, Moja does our WhatsApp images together with him and Sanet. And I said, Moja, please, or he actually offers. This guy's so amazing. He offers, can I do your slide for the WhatsApp for Friday that you need to send out to the church? I said, yes, I'm preaching on kindness. And he actually took initiative and he sent me three. And I liked this one that he put up here. And I was like, ice cream, kindness. Man, I love that. It's just like, Moja, that's your love language, ice cream. So, but you know, it's such a blessing to work with Moja. You know, he's not just a great minister of the word and a youth pastor and an amazing bass player. This guy loves admin. I mean, who loves admin? He loves admin. Okay, so it's just all the things I'm bad at, he's good at. So the Lord knew when He's putting us together that we are going to make a great team. So thank you, Moja, for getting our taste buds going. So love is kind. Love is not ice cream. Love is kind. But before we go into the message, I'm just wanting us to touch base quickly. I said I would do this from time to time. I want to give you an update on our building project. And man, these guys have been moving. The walls have gone up in 1 week. These guys are going so fast, and we're just really blessed by the way that they're building next door. I'd encourage you can walk around that way or that way, and you can quickly go and have a look after the service to see what they've been doing. So the walls went up in 1 week. Now, normally you don't complain when your builder is going fast. You know, that's normally not the problem. The problem is that they're behind schedule, but it feels like our builder is actually ahead of schedule. Now, that's normally not a problem. The only time it becomes a problem is when the bills are coming quicker than the money is coming in. So I said from time to time we'll have a little family talk. So this is one of them, guys. So we're not doing bad. Remember, our target as a church is to raise 350,000 rand. Okay, our donors said they will give 500,000 rand. The bill that we need to pay is 850,000 rand. And so far as a church, we've raised 125,000 rand, which is really not bad at all. The only part that is slightly worrying is that only came from 5 people. Okay. So thank you to those people that have sown. So what I want to do this morning, I just want to really encourage us. This is a bit of a team talk. I'm saying, come on team, let's all play this game. It can be 10 rand. Even if you've got 10 rand to give, or 5 rand, or 100 rand, I really want to encourage you, let's make this building project our building project. Not just 5 or 10 guys that, you know, went deep into their pockets. Let's really dig in, all of us. And I trust all of you have got our little build with us houses. Does anybody not have one of these? I'd gladly give you one. Okay, there at the back, there's some. So Net, if you can just give them. For anybody else, we've stacked about 50 of them there in the foyer that they really bug you as you go out, and you'll take one if you don't have one. These are also meant to be on your coffee table, so we pray that they'll be not just a nice ornament, but that the Lord will speak to you about partnering with us. So we're very excited about the building project. We're more than halfway now already. So ideally, we also wanted to be halfway with our funds raised as a church, but I'm not worried. The Lord is in this, and my faith is out there. So just from time to time, I'm just going to give you an update, saying, come on, guys, let's make this a team effort. So very exciting. We're very excited about the new church. Let's get into the message this morning. So next slide. There we go. 1 Corinthians 13, 4-5. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. I've been reading this for about 5 months, and you wouldn't think that one pastor can preach 7 sermons from 2 verses. But we've actually managed to do that. So the amazing thing is that there's just so much in this. And if you'll remember that our theme for the year is known for love, and this is one of the key verses for us. And we've said love is a couple of things. It's kind, it's patient. What else is it? It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It does not keep a record of wrong. It does not envy. It does not boast. And this morning I'm wanting to stand still on the fact that this thing that we're trying to understand, this love that we're trying to grapple with, that we're trying to make sense of, that we're trying to get into our hearts because we know the Lord wants us to understand it in its fullness. This thing that we're trying to understand, what it is also kind. Now, I've never heard a sermon on kindness. And so this was a bit of a challenge and a stretch for me trying to figure out how on earth am I going to preach a sermon on kindness. And so when it comes to kindness, we often have kind of this kind of hazy or fuzzy understanding or feeling about what is it when we say somebody is kind, or somebody showed me kindness, or man, those people are really kind. What does it mean? And so if we look at that definition quickly, the first thing is that it's a quality. Kindness is a quality that you find in people. It's the quality of being something. 3 things. Caring. I think a lot of us, when we think of kindness, we think of caring, and we think, yes, caring. Kindness is caring. Kindness is gentle. I suppose kindness is gentle. Kindness is definitely helpful. And so when we look at kindness, kindness is that quality of being those 3 things. Gentle, caring, and helpful. Kindness is also, and this is the important part, kindness is an act. So it doesn't help. You've got this feeling or this quality inside of you, but nobody knows about it. So kindness, in a sense, is a do word. It's an action word. And so when you look at a secular definition, they touch on both aspects of the word. The fact that it's a quality that you possess, because not everybody is kind. Not everybody is naturally kind. Some of us, I don't know, you just get people like David. They just straight from heaven, and they come with all the kindness in the world. And he just amazes me all the time. But we're not all like David. We're not all mercy orientated. Some of us, like me, we're a bit more goal orientated, a bit more driven, and we're like kind of running through life and ticking boxes and signing off on project plans, and we don't stop to notice those that need kindness around us. It's not that we're doing something wrong. It's just kindness is an action word. And to do an action, you actually need to see who needs your kindness, which means you actually need to stop and look who needs kindness, who needs to experience my kindness. So remember that kindness is a quality. Kindness is also an act. I always like images. So if we go to a couple of images of kindness, this one sums it up so nicely for me. Can you see that? There's a downpour in some street that somebody caught on camera. And a guy had an umbrella and his lady in a wheelchair. And he's offering his umbrella to the lady in the wheelchair. The amazing thing about kindness is true and genuine kindness manifests most often spontaneously. It's those moments. It's a downpour. You're walking down the street and all of a sudden a lady is trying to ride a wheelchair in the street. And nobody tells you that you must do it. Nobody says it's the appropriate action. There are probably a lot of people with umbrellas walking around in that town. I don't even know where that was. But this man, it's just in the moment. It's an in the moment thing. It's a spontaneous thing. And often kindness manifests spontaneously. And just kind of Googling a lot of, you know, videos and stuff, just trying to read up about kindness this week. There's lots of these little videos. 10 moments of kindness, and nearly all of them are spontaneous. A lady that pulls up into the drive-thru in a McDonald's, and the attendant sees that she's not feeling well, and all of a sudden, this attendant asks her, you know, what's wrong, and something bad had happened to her that morning, and she's tearing up. She's trying to order her McDonald's meal, but she's got tears in her eyes, and somebody takes the time to say, I can see that you're not feeling well, tell me about it. I know there are a couple of people behind you in the queue, and some of them might be impatient, but a cashier takes the time to ask what is wrong. And this lady, I don't know, you know, starts tearing up and starts telling him. And this guy stretches out his hand. There's a photo of this. He stretches out his hand and he prays for the lady through the window like this. And all of a sudden, three of the attendants that are also working in the McDonald's, there's this photo of about four people stretching out their hand into the car, and somebody starts taking photos behind in the car behind, and this thing goes viral and ends up on one of these top 10 kindness videos in the world type of thing. Yeah? But that's what kindness is. It's not asked for. It's something that you respond with. And so this morning I'm wanting to kind of stand still and look at that. There's a couple of more images here. Sport often causes us to see these moments that are unplanned for a guy without arms. He's running there. I don't know if he can grip the bottle, but somebody caught this lady trying to give this guy some water while they're running. Again, a spontaneous moment. And on YouTube, they say 10 reasons why there's still hope for humanity. Because of stuff like this. That's why they're saying there's hope for humanity. It's because nobody planned this. You look at it and you see that was spontaneous and like, there's still goodness on this earth. That somebody is also running a race will take the time, not just to drink their own water, but to go get water for the guy that can't pick up a water bottle while he's running and maybe try and get him to drink water as well. Let's go to that next slide. Moja, I had to do a ice cream slide for you. But yeah, man, in its infancy, yes, one little kid giving the other kid his ice cream. His face tells me he's not convinced he's going to get it back. Is it just me or is it okay? But here's an act of kindness. When your little kid gives the other kid a bite of the ice cream. And then just a final one. I really like this slide because it just speaks of somebody that's young and healthy and actually takes the time, sacrifices the time. And this is the thing about kindness. Kindness is going to cost you. Not necessarily money. In fact, very often not money. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you the fact that you need to slow down in your busy life and either help somebody or listen to somebody's story. It's going to cost you. And here's a lady that's just said, I don't know what, it's a random picture, I just find images of kindness. And somebody that's not mobile anymore, she's taking a morning of a week where she could be doing a whole lot of other things. We don't know what that lady's doing. But she's choosing to spend it with somebody that can't get out anymore. An act of kindness. Beautiful act of kindness. This morning, I'm wanting to quickly have a look at what four people in the Bible had to say about kindness. We're going to look at what Solomon said, what Micah the prophet said, what Paul said, what Titus said. So let's go and have a look at what Solomon said on kindness. I gave you context about Solomon last time, who he was and why it's so important to listen to what he said. But there's Proverbs 3, and we know Proverbs 3 for Proverbs 3 verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. You know, that's the famous scripture. But there's two or three verses before that that preempt, that kind of come just before that famous section. And Solomon's saying here, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. And then he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. But I don't know about you, but I haven't really pondered and kind of meditated on these first few verses. And there's really so much in you. And he's saying, my son, he's saying, don't forget something. Don't forget what I'm teaching you. And you need to keep something. You need to keep my commandments. Okay? So don't forget to keep my commandments. Here's the benefit. Here's the benefit. When you listen to my teaching, my commandments, you will have length of days. The years of your life will be amazing. Peace will be yours. And at the end, there's another promise. And so you will find favor and good repute, not just with God, but also with men. And so the kind of the sandwich is here. There's good news, there's peace, there's long life, there's good many years on the earth, there's favor, there's good repute in the sight of God and man. But in the middle, there's something. The teaching and the commandment. The teaching is don't forget kindness. Don't let kindness and truth leave you. Don't let it get away. In fact, bind them around your neck. You know I like props, so. You're going to remember this. Stefan, you mag lachi. He also uses props. Bind it around your neck. Why would Solomon say bind it around your neck? Don't let it get away from you. If you bind it around your neck, you think it's going to get away. No, it's going to go. Wherever you go, it's going to bother you because it's going to bother you when you're trying to eat your cereal in the morning, and when you're trying to put your shoes, it's going to knock you in the face. Obviously, this is not what he's meaning, but he's saying, figuratively, bind it around your neck. Don't let it get away from you. Write it on the tablet of your heart. Let it be close to you. Let kindness be close to you. Solomon's take on kindness. Let's have a look at the next scripture. Micah's advice now. Micah 6 verse 8. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. It's one of those kind of anthem poster verses that we know. It's kind of like, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, Joshua. This is one of them for you. Oh man, what does God require of you? To do three things. To do justice, to love mercy and kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. And so here's Micah. He's a minor prophet. He's living 700 before Christ. And the Lord has given him a word to preach against the sin that's in Judah, to preach specifically into the situation in Jerusalem. And he's bringing a hard word. And at the end of his word, he basically sums it up and he says, this is what God says is good. If you want to know what God thinks is good, he has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? Three things. When you walk in justice. And when you love, love properly, love kindness, walk humbly with your God. It's amazing. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, love is kind. Micah says, love kindness. And so this thing that we're trying to understand, this love, it is kind. But Micah's also saying, love kindness. When you love something, when you genuinely love something, then you grapple with it, you understand it, you know it. You don't just say, I love this randomly. or that if you don't really love it. Love kindness. Which means we take the time to understand what it means to love kindness. That's Micah's advice. Let's go to our next scripture. Hebrews 13. It says, let brotherly love continue. Verse 2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you are also in the body. So Hebrews, we suspect, was written by Paul. And he's saying, let brotherly love continue. And he's saying, don't neglect something. Don't neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Have you ever thought about it? There is a possibility that some stage in your life you may have spent time with some angels and you wouldn't even know it. Here's the other thing about kindness. Kindness often in the Bible is given in the context of strangers. Lord often says, show kindness to strangers. Why would he say that? I think he knows that, man, you got to love your kids. You got to love your wife. You got to love your family. You got to love your friends. It comes naturally to be kind to them. It comes naturally to be kind to your friends. That's why they're your friends. A stranger, you owe them nothing. Very often a stranger is interrupting what you're busy with. And so the Bible says, don't neglect to show kindness to strangers. People you don't know. People that owe you nothing. That you owe nothing. Don't neglect to show hospitality. Taking the time to make people feel welcome. For thereby some have entertained angels unaware. It's so interesting that the next verse is around prison. Remember those who are in prison. As though you were in prison with them. I want to encourage you. We've got a prison ministry. And at the moment, it's just me and Liesl and Moja. And we were a lot more people last year when we had the interns here. And I must tell you, it makes a difference when there's more people that are joining us on a Thursday morning. I want to encourage you, even if you just come once, prison ministry will change your life. It will break a whole lot of fears in your life. And it's going to challenge you in a whole lot of areas. Because again, you feel like, man, why should I go and minister to people that are hurting others? Until you come there. And you lay aside your fears and you realize that the people that you're ministering to and working to, they're just brothers that have sinned and they're paying a higher price. But they also need love. They also need kindness. And so I can tell you, the ministry that Liesl heads up, it's a ministry of love. It's a ministry of kindness. I'd encourage you, as the word says, show kindness to people. Show mercy to people. Go and visit them when they are in prison. Let's go to our final one there, Titus. Titus 3. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others, hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of our Savior appeared, He saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Titus is preaching the entire gospel in about three verses there. That's the gospel summed up. We were foolish, disobedient, slaves to our passions, malice, envy, hating others, hated by others. But then something happens. And in the middle is salvation. He saved us. But something comes before the salvation. Something appears. The thing that appears is His kindness. And this is something we must understand about who God is. As we've stood still for 4 weeks, 4 months, we've realized God is patient. So let us be patient. God does not easily get angry. So let us not easily get angry. God is kind. It's His kindness that has led to our repentance. The reason why we are sitting as saved people here this morning, those that are saved and given their lives to Jesus, before He saved us, something appeared in our lives. Something appeared that changed us, and it's called kindness. God is kind. God is kind. The loving kindness of God leads us to repentance. I want to go to my final scripture this morning. Acts 28. I call it the Malta experience, not to be confused with the Malva experience that you get at the frozen food sections in Woolworths. The Malta experience. Acts 28 says, now when they had escaped, speaking of the sailors, when the sailors had escaped, they then found out that the island was called Malta. And the natives showed us unusual kindness. Paul writing here. The natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome. Because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. In that region, verse 7, in that region there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. Verse 10, they also honored us in many ways, and when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary. And here Paul is speaking about an incident of kindness that he's wanting us to read about in the book of Acts. And he's saying, they showed us unusual kindness. And the first time I read this, I'm like expecting something amazing. Some amazing deed or act of unusual kindness. They made us a fire. And made us feel welcome. Why would Paul take out some time to say that these people, these inhabitants, the word there is natives, and if you go and look at the original, it actually says the barbarians. That's the way he's explaining it. These barbarians show us unusual kindness. He could have just said, and they showed us kindness, but he's saying, they showed us unusual kindness. They made us a fire. And to understand why he's saying that this was such a good and amazing deed of kindness, you need to understand what Paul and the sailors have just been through. And those of you that would know this section of the book of Acts, Paul's on his way to Rome. And he's being sent by escort to Caesar to Rome. And there's a centurion that's looking after him. And they're sailing. They're sailing around in the Mediterranean. And they're kind of going from island to island. And they get to one place where Paul actually gets a word. And he says to them, centurion and captain of the ship, I perceive that if we sail further, we're going to get into trouble. Because the Day of Atonement has passed. Basically, he's just saying, the calendar has gone beyond a certain day, and they say it's not wise to sail after that. He says this, I perceive that this journey is going to end in death and loss. But the captain of the ship listens to the rest of the sailors, and they decide that they can't spend winter in that harbor, and so they carry on sailing. And in the beginning, it's fine, and they kind of come in close to the coast, and then it says, all of a sudden, a wind that was tempestuous. Okay, that's the New King James Version is saying, there was a massive storm. A massive storm comes up and it blows for 14 days. For 2 weeks, they are at the mercy of a storm. The storm is so bad that the word says they didn't know whether it was day or night because they could not see the moon and the stars or the sun. They couldn't distinguish. One of the most hectic storms that we know about, accounted of in the Bible, is this storm over here. It's so bad that eventually the guys stop eating. They stop eating also for 2 weeks because they fear they're going to lose their lives. And eventually they hit a reef. And Paul tells them what to do, and they hit this reef. And the soldiers are wanting to kill the sailors that are prisoners on the ship. But the centurion says no, because he knew Paul's life. We don't know why, but he knew Paul's life needed to be spared. He says, don't kill our prisoners. Let them jump into the sea first, and we see if they can get to the land. And so they jump in and the rest hold on to stuff that's breaking off the ship. The reef, the ship is against the reef and the waves are just kind of breaking the ship open, and they jump into the ocean, and the word says that all of them escape and they land on this island called Malta. And so for 2 weeks, you have been battered by winds that we don't understand. The black southeaster that's blowing at whatever, 120 kilometers an hour. You can't even see the sun, the moon, the stars. You don't know whether it's day or night. You haven't slept for 2 weeks. You've been seasick for 2 weeks. You haven't eaten for 2 weeks. You have been through trauma. You're cold, you're wet, you're shivering. And so, yes, a fire is unusual kindness in this circumstance. And so Paul experiences this unusual kindness from these barbarians. And they made us feel welcome. The leading man, the prime minister, whatever, of that island comes to them. And he receives them for 3 days. And he blesses them. And then another ship comes and they can take their journey, and they don't stop there. They provided such things as were necessary. They don't know these people at all. The inhabitants of this island don't know these guys at all. And yet they show this unusual kindness to strangers. And so Paul writes about this. And this morning I'm wanting to challenge us. What are you doing with the shipwrecked sailors that are washing up on the shores of your life? Course they will. From time to time, they're going to knock on your door again, and you're going to be irritated that they're knocking on your door again. I'm not saying we must give money to everybody that comes and knocks on our door. But in your life, and we all know this, at some stage you're going to be stopped by somebody that's going to ask you for help. Or you're going to hear about somebody that's just lost their job. Somebody that's in trouble. Somebody whose lives are heading for the rocks, or whose marriage is already on the rocks, and that needs encouragement. And this thing that we're trying to understand today, it's not as easy as to get as the other things I've preached about, the anger and the jealousy and the patience. Those things we kind of see black and white. Kindness is a little bit more subtle. It's a bit more subtle to understand. And so I'm wanting us to reflect on the fact that the Lord wants us to love kindness. He wants us to hang it around our necks. And to think about it, to keep it close, to not let it get away from us. And I want to challenge us, when the people come into your life and you know that there's an opportunity to show kindness, may you not be found wanting. You know, that moment comes and goes and then it's gone. And in that moment, I'm wanting the Lord to bring our hearts to a place. This is the final thing we're speaking about this morning in the Hearts Under Construction series. When we come to that place, you will often notice, should I give this person this, or should I do that for that person? And then you hesitate. You hesitate. And then when you look again, or you scratch for your wallet, or you want to run to the fridge to get them food, you look again and they're gone. And that's just because of our disposition, the way we relatively place ourselves to show and receive kindness, but to show kindness. Let us come to a place where it's bothering us, where it's hanging around our necks, where it's close to our hearts, like a tablet that's in our hearts, that it doesn't take that moment of hesitation where you think, must I be kind or must I not be kind? And so this is a more difficult one to understand, because it means you need to kind of look less at yourself. So go to that final slide there. Becoming kind. You know, I thought about this week. The biggest obstacle, in my opinion, well, definitely in my life, to the manifestation of kindness is a self-focus or selfishness. I want to read this quote for you. Stop worrying about what others think of you. They're not. They're thinking of themselves. That's the sickness of our age. Self-absorption. And if so, if there ever was a time where kindness is challenged just by who we are and the lives that we are living in 2018, that are so focused on consumption and self-preservation and making sure that me and my family and my kids are all right. The thing that comes under attack is kindness, because we kind of got our walls up and we're checking, making sure that we're all right. And so it's not like we don't want to be kind. It's just when the opportunity to be kind comes along, it takes us a long time to figure out that, hey, it's there for the taking. And so we hesitate or we miss it. And Solomon's saying, hang it around your neck. Write it on your heart. Don't let it get away from you. So I want to close with a short clip that I found quite moving this week. It's a clip about a guy who got shipwrecked in his life and what his friends did to try and get him back. Thanks. There's no sound in the beginning. It comes a bit later.
Silence.
It's an inspiring little clip, reenactment of people that care. You know, I was driving in Paul at the end of last year on a Friday morning. I was driving to go and get leather in Paul for our business that Jolene was still running at that stage. And I'd finished buying the leather and I was busy because I had to come back and prepare for the sermon. And as usual, I'm always rushing everywhere. That's me. I rush. I remember driving kind of down one of these back roads of Paul closer to the river. And it's kind of this industrial area. And I'm driving down this road and it's hot. It's in December. I'm driving the old Merc. We've got an old Merc that doesn't have aircon, so you need the windows open. And I'm driving, probably it's one of the bigger roads, probably doing about 80. And I'm driving down the road, and it's kind of like an industrial area, so there's not a lot of people walking around. And I'm driving probably like 100 meters down this road, and I pass this lady, an African lady, just walking by the side of the road, but I don't even notice her. But I heard something that morning with the windows open. I heard a cry come out from this lady. And I can't tell you, it was a cry of desperation. It was like, it wasn't like cry. It was this thing, this guttural sound that came out of this lady's mouth. And I mean, I heard it above the traffic. It was just me driving, but I heard it above like the car. And this is This sob, and she was not doing it to get my attention. She genuinely was. I can't explain to you what it sounded like. It was the sound of desperation. It was the sound of hopelessness. And it moved me. It moved me that I turned the car around, did like whatever legal turnaround, and I came back. And this is not like me, people. I don't turn around because of a lady that's crying next to the road. But there was something about the cry. There was something about the sound that came out of that lady. The sound of hopelessness. And I took a while, but then I found her again. And it was weird. I mean, yeah, this looks slightly dodgy. Here's this man that stops I stopped the car. I don't even know if I didn't even tell Jolene about this. I did tell her. I stopped the car and I got out of the car and I walked across the road and she was walking down the path, and by that time she'd calmed down and she was kind of just still, she was like snicking, you know. I said to her, "What's wrong?" And I could see she doesn't understand why this guy is speaking to her, and she's like, "What's going on here?" I said to her, "What's wrong? I heard you crying." And then she broke down. She says, "I've been trying to get a job. And I've been looking for a few days. And I can't find a job. And I've got a 3-month-old baby and she's hungry at home. And I can't get money." And we know when people are trying to take us for a ride. And we know when people are trying to get money out of this. That morning I saw somebody who'd given up and she was hopeless, and I heard her sound. And I'm not the most kind person around, but that morning something moved me and I responded. I said, "Get in the car, we're going to the ShopRite." And I said to her, "What do you need?" And she just bought stuff for the baby. bought a formula for the baby that the baby's not hungry. I said, what else do you need? She said, nappies. I said, get the nappies you want. That's all she wanted. I said, what do you want? She said, I don't want anything. I said, are you hungry? She said, I'm hungry. I said, get yourself something to eat. We bought a lot of nappies. She asked for the smallest tin. I said, get the biggest tin. That your baby can eat for a long time. People there, from time to time, they're going to be people that get shipwrecked. And they're going to land up on your shores. And the Lord is going to challenge you. He's asking you, what are you doing with the shipwrecked people that are landing up on your shores? I'm not saying run off and give money to everybody who's asking money. I mean, this country's got serious problems. All I'm saying this morning, as we close this thing about hearts under construction, I feel the final little cap he wants to put on our hearts, is that we are just sensitive. It's not a big thing this morning. It's a small thing, but it's a big thing. Keep kindness near to you. Write it on the tablet of your heart. Hang it around your neck. Be aware of it. And here's the thing. Look out for when those people come into your life. And it may not be often, but from time to time they will come and somebody will need your help, your attention, your kindness. And then give it to them, because the Lord is blessed by when we show kindness to others. He was the one that showed us the biggest kindness by saving us. Amen. So let's stand this morning. Sorry, I got so emotional now. We're going to do communion. So if they can just hand out the elements. I want to remind you of the cost of kindness. Kindness will cost you. It will cost you your time. It will cost you your focus. It will cost you sometimes to stop the car and turn it around and to go and ask somebody what is wrong with you. Sometimes it will cost people to stop a queue in a drive-thru at a fast food outlet and say, I can see something's upsetting you. What is wrong? Remember the definition of kindness. That quality and that action of caring, of mercy. And so this morning, over the bread and wine, what I want us to do, this is slightly different this morning. I'm wanting us just to make a commitment to kindness in our hearts. I'm not saying go and empty your bank account or help every person that comes to you. All I'm saying is, let's hang the banner of kindness over our necks, over our lives. Let's hide it in our hearts. That when the opportunity comes to be kind, you're not going to struggle or hesitate to find it or to be kind. That it will move from being intentional to move into being an action. And so, Father, we bring ourselves before you this morning, Lord. At the end of the series, Lord, we thank you, Father, for everything you've done in our hearts, Lord. God, we thank you that you've shown us what love looks like. Father, that love is patient. That love is kind. That it doesn't envy. That it doesn't boast. That it's not proud. That it's not puffed up, conceited, or vain. That it doesn't dishonor others. That it hopes. That it bears all things. Father, that love never fails. So I pray for the manifest love in our hearts and in this church, Lord, to be made complete. Father, thank you for this work that you've done as we've gone on this journey, Lord, of bringing our hearts before you. Thank you for this final day, Lord, that we can just align our hearts again to your heart, Lord, that you are the one who was kind to us, that showed us mercy and then saved us. While we were hating each other, while we were committing the atrocities, Lord, that we were, Lord, you chose to appear, and you appeared in kindness. Thank you for your kindness over us this morning. And so, Lord, we commit to being those people of kindness, Lord. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for the finished work of the cross this morning. We thank you for the blood of Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the cross and its finished work. Lord, we do this and we remember this, Lord, as we take and partake of these elements, God. Thank you for your body that was broken for us, God. Thank you that you were crushed for us, Lord. Let's eat together. Thank you for your blood that flowed for us. Lord, that washes away all our iniquity, all the filth in our lives, God. And just before we partake of the blood, let's just take a minute. I just feel the Lord just wants to come in the big hose pipe and just wash out all the nonsense and all the yuck in our lives. So just reflect, if there's something that's holding you back, something that's causing you to stumble, to fall, maybe a habitual sin, maybe unforgiveness, maybe, I don't know, you know. Father, we thank you that we can bring that which is in our hearts before you. Thank you for your instruction, Lord, that as often as we come together, Lord, we should do this in remembrance of you, Lord, because we remember why you died for us. That while we were still sinners, Father, you loved us and you saved us. And we can do nothing more special this morning than to once again reflect on the cross, to reflect on its power, to reflect on its totality in healing us, in saving us, and making us clean. So thank you for your blood, Lord, that speaks a better word, that washes whiter than snow this morning. If you battling with some sin in your life and you're thinking that it's too hectic, it's too bad for the blood of Jesus, let me tell you, the blood of Jesus covers everything, every sin, every abomination. It's that thing which you think Jesus can't cover. His blood is not enough for that. It is. It's the only thing that can save you from your sin. And so thank you, Lord, that we can bring our lives before you this morning. Wash us clean. Wash us whiter than snow, Lord. We commit our tongues, our mouths to you, Lord. Lord, where we've been hurting others perhaps by what we've been saying, Father, we just commit ourselves as your vessels again this morning. Just take a minute just to bring yourself before the Lord and just say, Lord, here I am at the foot of the cross. Wash me clean this morning. Make me whiter than snow. I once again receive your grace. Once again receive your forgiveness. Amen. Let's drink together. And finally, as every eye is closed, I'll do this more often. Titus spoke about the gospel this morning. And he spoke about how we were in depravity and how our lives were messed up and how we were regenerated by the Holy Spirit. In the middle, he said, and he saved us. His goodness and his kindness led us to repentance and he saved us. Is there anybody this morning that knows they have not made that choice of accepting that act of salvation? While every eye is closed, if there's somebody that needs to say for the first time, Jesus, that is me. I need to receive that gift this morning. I need to receive the gospel. I need to receive your finished work. Just slip up your hand there where you are. Is there anybody like that that needs to make a commitment or make a recommitment to the Lord this morning? Thank you for that hand at the back. And Johnny's going to pray with you afterwards. Thank you for raising your hand and being that bold. So Father, I thank you for every person that came here this morning. Bless them richly. Lord, be with their families, be with their businesses, be in their relationships, their marriages. God, heal those that are sick. Father, we pray for every family member that we're still standing in faith for salvation. God, we pray for them right now. God, and we will choose not to lose faith. God, we declare this morning that with you all things are possible. We trust for their salvation. Lord, I pray your blessing on every person here. May you bless them this week. Lord, may we not miss the opportunities to be kind in this week in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a wonderful week. Do remember there's ice creams afterwards. It's our way of being kind to you. If there's anybody else that needs